Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I want to be one of the first, number one, to welcome you into Guts Church here in Tulsa and in Sepulpa. Let's give the Lord a hand for each of those campuses that are here tonight. Everybody that's here, that's that you guys, maybe some of you that just bought already cooked smoked turkeys or something, and you cut to the chase. And I know a lot of people are at home tonight preparing for Thanksgiving. Can I be one of the first people to offer a happy Thanksgiving to y'all? Pastor Sandy's here. Sandy, you want to say happy Thanksgiving to him as well? You want to say happy Thanksgiving and to Tulsa and Sepulpa and people. Maybe people in New Jersey and people other places. I'll tell you, before we go any further, I was thinking Sandy's dad, who just turned 90 years old, I might add. But he'd say further. He's from the South. But before we go any further, I want to pray for the Dowlers in Malibu. I have been praying for them a lot. And as you guys know, that the fires in that part of California came right up to their home. Matter of fact, Dave, when they evacuated everybody, Dave stayed behind, I think, with one other neighbor, but I know at least Dave stayed behind and kept a water hose on the house that he's renting and also his neighbor's houses. And the authorities, I think, commended him because his actions saved 7 houses right there in that place. So I want to pray for Dave and Laura. They're probably watching tonight, and I believe what the enemy means for bad, what happens bad in our life, God turns it to good. And this is going to be a breakthrough moment for Waveside Church, for the Dowlers, and for that area in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you right now for Dave and Laura Dowler. God, I thank you that your hand's in their lives. God, I pray a move of your spirit in their lives. And God, I thank you that greater is he who's in them than he who's in the world. God, we're so appreciative of the relationship that we have. And God, we stand and intercede tonight for their well-being and for the pronouncement of that ministry, that it grows and is greater and is amplified all around Malibu and in that part of California, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, get your notes out. Get your Bibles out. Get your hearts ready. Are your hearts ready to receive the word tonight? You know, this is my opportunity to give you a Thanksgiving message and how thankful for we are, that we are, of everything that God's doing, that everything in my life that I value, honestly, God has brought to me. I haven't had to go and scratch and claw, and that's what, I think growing up and then as a young adult before I became a Christian, and before I had revelation that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything that the Gentiles are seeking will come to me. Before I had all that, I thought my life would be scratching and clawing and fighting and grinding to get everything, and it has been quite the contrary. And I'm just telling you, that's not specific to me. That's just because I'm a Christian, and that is specific to all of us. And it's a general promise that God's given us, but I want to talk to you tonight just about faithfulness, but a lot of times there's things in our life that in Thanksgiving that block that Thanksgiving, that faithful attitude of Thanksgiving that's in our heart. And 3 common things, and it's real easy, you can write it down in your notes, but it's unforgiveness, it's bitterness, and offense. And those things are very drastic, but they're also very subtle. You know, if you think about it, the enemy, I heard this from a man many years ago. I preached in Dallas, and this older man came up to me, and he said, son, man, I know God's called me to do what you're doing. And we looked up, and the altar's full of people, and he said, man, God's called me to this. He said, but 30 years ago, the enemy was laying in the weeds and got me off track. And he waited 30 years at that time to snare me. And You know, that the snares, though, how they come, they don't come like as a red creature with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. It comes in the form of unforgiveness and bitterness and offense. And you know, I've just determined, and honestly, living with Sandy and the character that she has in her life, that it's hard to remain offended or to suffer offense when you live with somebody that's just not going to. When you live with somebody that if any unforgiving words come out of your mouth, man, it's like, wait a second, let's stop right there and let's confront this attitude. Let's confront this unforgiveness. Let's confront this bitterness or this offense. And I just chose in my life many, many years ago, probably over 30 years ago, I got offended by something. I was mad. And when I get offended or mad, like there's a rage or something. It's like, I don't know what to do, but, you know, like maybe open up a can or something here. There's got to be something I can, because it's not something I'm not going to suffer silently when I'm offended or I'm, and but I just decided right then and there that I'm going to be unoffendable. And I chose that in my life. And see, that's what our life is. That's really what our life in Christ is. It's a choice. And I chose that I'm not going to be offendable. There's nothing anybody can do that I'm going to suffer offense. You could be as offensive as you want to be, but that I'm not going to receive that offense. I'm not going to suffer that offense. Unforgiveness doesn't make any sense. Really, if you break it down, and I know the devil tries to deceive us into thinking that forgiveness is so hard. Forgiveness is the easiest thing in the world. Write that down. Forgiveness is the easiest thing in the world. It's a choice. You just choose to forgive. And you'll say, well, I don't feel like it. It's like, you know what? We don't live by how we feel. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And if when we forgive, God forgives us. You know, the Bible says when we pray, in Mark 11, 22, have the faith of God, 23, when you say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart, 24 says, you'll have whatever you say. Verse 25 in Mark 11 says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Because what is that unforgiveness going to do? It's going to block God's answer in your life. And see, the word, it's repetitious in the word that God wants the heaven above your life to be open. Write that down. God wants the heaven in my life to be open. But see, you know what the enemy's going to do? See, the enemy is going to seek whom he may devour. And the people that he's devouring, you know what? Those are the people that affect our lives. See, what's interesting is that demonic activity, just like ministry, is passed from people. See, God uses people. The enemy now uses people. See, there's no haunted houses. There's no inanimate objects that are haunted. You know, the demoniac that came to Jesus and why do you persecute me, or why do you come against me, why do you attack me? And he came to Jesus and said, we know that you have authority over us, and you know what we're legions. They said, we know you have authority over us. You know you have dominion over us. At least cast us into that herd of swine. We need something that's alive to go into. Otherwise, we go back into the abyss. See, understand that. The enemy's going to use people. So you know what? The enemy's going to use unforgiveness for people in your life. And you know, it's common, and it's almost corny to repeat that unforgiveness is me drinking poison hoping it's going to hurt you. See, we're smarter than that. Unforgiveness, honestly, write it down. Unforgiveness doesn't make any sense. It cuts off the open heaven in your life. Bitterness is crazy. You're going to lose everything if you're bitter. You know, the Bible says a little bit of bitter, it makes all the water bitter. You can have sweet water and a little bit of bitter. See, we look at that. See, we're used to sweet water. That's what the word is. The water of the word is sweet water in our lives. So now when we add a little bit of bitter to it, guess what? The water we're receiving from God's word. Are you guys listening? The water we're receiving from God's word. So, Paul, you got to pay attention. Man, I'm quicker than AJ. Man, I'm throwing out things a lot quicker than he did. So you got to strap it on when you come in here. But we look at this and the water that we get here is so sweet. But then what's the enemy going to do? The enemy's going to try to bring some bitterness into your approach and some bitterness into your thought life and some bitterness into your attitude and some bitterness into your relationship. Man, I'm telling you right now, if you're bitter about your husband, stop it. Repent. It's interesting how many times Jesus just told his followers, look, you got to repent. We don't say it often enough. If you're here and you're bitter about somebody or bitter about something or bitter, listen, there's promotions a lot of times that you get passed over and you get bitter. And you know what? It may very well be God just pruning you. Why would God prune you? To make you stronger. Because the fruit that you're about to produce is going to be so massive that if God didn't prune you, man, your limbs would break. See, think about this. It feels personal. It feels like we're missing a promotion. It feels like we had skipped over. Let me just help you. God is not going to let a, you better write this down. God is never going to let a blessing skip you over. His blessings come upon you and overtake you. They don't skip you over. If that promotion you didn't get, and I don't know why I'm beating this drum tonight, but if that promotion you didn't get, if you're thinking it's personal, it's something God's either, because it's interesting because we talk a lot of times about how any door God opens, no man can close. But you know, the next phrase is any door God closes, no man can open. It's like, oh, I like the open door part of it. See, we can't have that. I have selective memory. I have selective hearing. Sandy will say, hey, Bill, do we need to get your hearing checked? No. But I have to play along because then I have to act like I was listening to her. You know what I'm saying? So, but the point is we do. We get selective hearing. We get your kids. Man, I remember that our kids would be saying, hey, come on down. And you don't hear anything. I didn't hear you. But we could be whispering in the kitchen and they're upstairs in their bedroom and we're talking about something. They'll say, that isn't how it happened. I'm like, how did you hear that? Like they, their ear against the vent and the air conditioner and the... But see, that unforgiveness and bitterness and offense will keep you from an attitude of thanksgiving. And all God cares is that we have thankful hearts. That's all God cares tonight, is that we have thankful hearts. So I want to talk to you about having a thankful heart tonight and the three things that go into that, that are involved in that. Everybody say happy birthday to my dear friend Tanya. Tanya turned 50. I might start slowing down a little bit when I turn 50, but at any time soon when I turn 50, but Tanya's 50, with a 50 and a one-year-old. How about that, Glenn? Glenn, is that the book that you wrote about your future and your life when you were 30 years old? You never thought you'd be married to an old woman like that, did you? 50. That's old, Tanya. I'm just telling you. I'll admit it. When I'm 50, I'll be old as well. But, what was I talking about? Oh, three things, okay? The first thing here is, honestly, the authority that God's given us. And listen, everything's predicated upon our faith. Everything. And in order for your faith to be strong, you've got to be speaking it. In order for your faith to be active, you've got to be hearing it. In order for your faith to be strong, you have to be speaking it. Okay, do you understand that? Kind of the different, it's a little bit of a parallel, but it's a little different. The difference between your faith being active and your faith being strong. We all want active faith, right? Give me a wave. We all want active faith, okay? How many of you guys want strong faith? How many of you guys know we live by faith? And that makes us just. And we can live by faith because we're forgiven. So we have strong faith when we're speaking God's word, when we're speaking faith. And as we speak that faith, man, it causes our faith to be strong when we speak God's word. Because Romans 10:17 says that we receive faith. Faith comes and faith's built in our life when we hear the word and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So the bottom line of this is it's real simple. A thankful heart comes from a heart that's not messed up with unforgiveness and bitterness and offense. All those things prohibit us from being thankful. So the bottom line is this: your thankfulness boils down to authority, faith, and anointing. And it all comes from God. Okay? Authority, and you could write those down. You could take a picture of them. Authority, faith, and anointing. God's will in your life is to have a thankful heart. Not just to be thankful for your car, not just be thankful for your wife, not just be thankful for your income, not just be thankful for that winning lottery ticket. God is looking for you. Just have a thankful heart, that you have a life of thankfulness. Does that make sense to you? See, it's not pick and choose thankfulness for us. See, even when you fall into various trials, be thankful, because the testing of your faith, because what God, we're not thankful for them, we're thankful in them. Does that make sense? See, there's a difference. So a thankful heart, man, you might be going through a bitter court battle. You might be going through a trying time at work. Man, a health issue. You know what? We go through it thankfully, because my God reigns, right? Remember, there is no rival. There is no equal. God and forever, and God, you reign. Remember that? You were singing that? All right? Well, wait a second. That's how I get through things. In all these things, not for them. Man, I have a thankful heart. And that's the bottom line. So it's authority, it's faith, it's the anointing. Let me ask you this. The way God does anything is the way God does everything. How did Jesus forgive in the Word? He's hanging on the dadgum cross. He'd just gotten beat to a pulp. He got punched repeatedly, probably hundreds of times. He got whipped 39 times. And the only reason they stopped is because 40 would have been a death sentence. And then by law, they wouldn't have been able to crucify him. And he was sentenced to be crucified. Plus, prophetically, he was going to hang on that cross. So he's hanging on that cross, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Do you think he felt like forgiving them? No, they spit in his face. If that alone, without being punched, without having that crown of thorns jammed on his head, they spit in his face. They threw a cross on his back and said, carry it up that hill. And he couldn't physically do it. He had to get help. He was humiliated. The book of Isaiah prophesied that he wouldn't be recognizable as a human being hanging on that cross. So he's up there on that cross and he's hanging. He said, Father, forgive him. See, that's where forgiveness is. It's in our mouth. It's a choice we make and we say it. God, I forgive that guy that abused me. God, I forgive that guy that cheated me. God, I forgive that guy that neglected me. God, I forgive that guy. God, I forgive that boss that passed me over. God, I thank you today. God, that you bless him today. God, that you bless him 10 times over what that promotion would have blessed me. See, that's a thankful heart, and that's a heart God can bless. See, I want to say that's a heart God can use, but this is kind of one of those consumer messages. This is a heart God can bless. The way Jesus did anything is the way he did everything. And the way he forgives is the way he heals. The way he saves, the way he delivers. See, it's all who he is. It's not just what he does. Does that make sense? See, who he is he's the healer. He's the deliverer. Do you know, because the reason God sent Jesus is because he wanted to restore us to him. See, that's why it's easy for me to forgive, because I've been restored to God. There's that restoration that's happened in my life. See, and that's the idea of this now is that, man, it's so liberating. It's so empowering for me. My self-assessment now, the standard, the scales go so high because, man, I've been restored to my Father. Man, I was prodigal, and God called me home and received me and accepted me. And Jesus was, we have to look at this, that Jesus was a man just like us. He was tempted to be in unforgiveness. He was tempted to be bitter. He was tempted. I honestly think that one time in the Word that I see that Jesus probably, there's two times that Jesus came very close to being bitter. One time was when Lazarus died and Mary and Martha blamed Jesus for it because he didn't get there quick enough. And Jesus wept. There was another time where Jesus went to the garden to pray, and he came back out, and his disciples twice couldn't wait an hour. He prayed for an hour, and one time he prayed with such an intensity that blood began to bead up and drip on his forehead. And the strain that was on his life, and he comes out, and his closest people, the people honestly that were going to succeed him in ministry, and that they were sleeping, and he's like, "How long do I have to be with this group of people? How long do I have to bear them?" And he looked at them and said, "Couldn't you stay awake for an hour, for 1 hour?" See, I believe that was his temptation, where honestly he could have taken one step into bitterness from where he was, but didn't. Didn't take that step. And so Jesus was a man, and that's plain and simple, he was a man. He was a man same as us, yet knew no sin. See, and now the way we can live, I'll take this story. You go to Luke, the third chapter, and Jesus gets in the water with John. And follows John in water baptism, and it's at the time when all the people were getting baptized that he came in, and he was just one of a bunch. Maybe how you were baptized. Maybe you were baptized here in this church, and there were 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 people got baptized, and you're just facing the crowd. You're just a number. You got a little letter to congratulate you, and you got a little certificate. You got water baptized. They give you a shirt that said, "I'm all in," but everybody else got that too. It's just kind of run of the mill, and that's why how Jesus entered that water. And Jesus entered that water, and John said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Time out! Time out! Time out! This we got this backwards. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "Look, just do what you're supposed to do, because I'm a man, plain and simple. I'm skin and bone, and I'm blood, and I'm tissue, and I'm muscle, and I'm brain cells, and I'm vital organs, and I'm toenails, just like all you." And he got in that water, and when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, listen, because this is a big key that I think that we can miss. While he prayed, the heavens opened up. Okay? Is that what you're reading here? While he prayed, underline that in your Bible. If you don't have your Bibles, take a note. Take a picture that while he prayed, the heavens opened. When we pray in the name of Jesus, guess what happens? The heavens open. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is. But let me tell you, here's Jesus. Jesus was 30 years old. That's what the next verse says. 30 years old. And at that time, that was a pretty old guy. So Jesus is 30 years old, and he gets in that water to be baptized. And what's interesting is that he couldn't do it before then, because at 30 in the Old Testament, in Jewish tradition, is when priests could begin to become active in their office. So Jesus waited till he was 30. Do you understand? Jesus healed nobody till he was 30 years old. Why? Because he was just a man like you and me. Same as us. See, and so here Jesus is, he gets in this water, and he comes out of the water, and what happens? What happens is, and this is the differentiation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus is coming out of the water dripping wet, just like a man, okay? And then the Holy Spirit lit on him. By the Bible, in the New King James, it says bodily, like in bodily form, the New King James says, lit on him like a dove. Man, it came onto him gently. The Holy Spirit came onto him. So that differentiated the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, that aspect of God, who God is, the God the Father, my Son in whom I'm well pleased, Jesus the man just like me and you, the Holy Spirit that came upon him, and what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon him? Forgiveness broke free all over the earth. Healing broke free. Deliverance broke free all over the earth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came and came into Jesus. See, we're the sanctuary. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the body of Christ. We came out of that water and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now Jesus himself, man, he began his ministry at about 30 years old. Jesus began healing people at 30. Before that, nobody. See, so you think about this in our lives. How did Jesus heal people? You'll say, well, because he was God. Really? Because he didn't do it till he was 30 years old. He didn't do it till, listen, God validated him publicly and the Holy Spirit came upon him. So Jesus at the Mount of Ascension, what did he say? I must go so the Holy Spirit can come upon you. Oh my gosh. You'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh my gosh. Man, we think about this and it's like, wait a second, this has become very personal for me. If you read the word here, man, we pray in Jesus' name, the heaven opens up. Man, when we pray, it isn't that God just inclines his ear to you. No, man, the heavens open up. You pray about your finances? Every bit of financial resource of heaven opens up in front of you. The vault opens. You pray about your healing? Oh my gosh. Every bit of healing ability in heaven opens up to you. Are you tracking with me? See, and you look at this, it happened for Jesus at 30 years old. It could happen to you for you tonight. It's already happened in your life. Now you've just got to have the mindset of peace that's what it is. That's how this happens in our lives. You know, and you think, yeah, but Jesus was righteous. Really? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, now we're righteous in him. The heavens opened up. In the very next chapter of Luke, in chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you as well and has anointed you. Let me break down this word anointed. It's not just a religious term. It's not just a charismatic term. Man, anointed means, listen, that the presence of God comes in. And what the anointing does for us in our life is it breaks yokes of bondage and removes burdens. Man, take that in. Write that down. It breaks bondages. You got a bondage in your life? Here's how it works. The authority that we have in the name of Jesus, the faith we have in God's promise, and the anointing that breaks those yokes of bondage. Man, I'm addicted to food. I'm addicted to liquor. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to porn. I'm addicted to shopping. I'm addicted to credit. I'm addicted to... It's like, I get it. Oh, I got a spirit of nicotine on me. I don't get it, but I get it. But I'm just telling you, whatever that is, that it's just a mindset. It's all that is. And what the anointing, what the presence of God will do is break that yoke of bondage. Break that bondage that you think it's controlling your life. And why? Why? So we can have a thankful heart. Because that's all God cares about for us. The prodigal son left, came back, was celebrated. The son who stayed got all twisted up and bitter. God said, you don't get it. You're my son. You get my inheritance. But my son has come home. Man, in Acts, the 10th chapter, the 38th verse, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. for God was with him. That's what the anointing is. Katie, that's what the anointing is. God's with you. So whatever it is that's trying to hold you down, Tim, whatever God's trying to hold you down, it's, wait a second, the anointing breaks it. Because God's with us. And it's such a simple message. And I've done this a long, long time. And sometimes I feel like, man, if I say any more, if I do anything else, I'll just get in the way. See, yeah, that you get what I'm saying matters at some level to me. But that the anointing of the living God is on your life to break yokes of bondage, remove burdens, shoot. And it frees you up. Frees you up to have a thankful heart. I think a lot of Christian counseling just helps people stay spoiled. Man, yeah, oh, but Pastor, I need some counseling. I think you just need to make a decision. I think you need to be identified with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus in that baptism. Oh, but Pastor, man, these drugs are consuming my life. Well, don't let them. And you know, everybody laughed back in the 80s when Nancy Reagan said, just say no. And we said, no, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. No, it is that easy. But not just say no to drugs, but you say yes to God. Say yes to God's promise. Man, that every time you think about that drug, man, you get in God's word. Spend all day, spend all night. I'm just telling you. Because the Bible promises this, one day in his house, one experience with him, it's better than 1,000 elsewhere. Man, I know you could be other places, but I'm so glad you're here. But there's nowhere better to be. Why? Because we're breaking the bread of life tonight. We're enjoying God's house with his presence. We're not just, this isn't a Airbnb of God where God's given us a place to hang out and sing some songs and hear a talk. No, we've come into his house. Listen, where he lives. He's here. He's settling things up for you. He's taking care of things. He's saying, oh, just come over here and come into this deep place with me. Come into this holy of holies with me. And guess what? Man, death can't even be in there. Nothing associated with death can be in there. Man, you wanna break an addiction in your life? Just get to the holy of holies. Get to that precious place of God. And how do you do it? What does the Bible say? Enter his courts with praise. But it all starts with thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.